TV.
How in the world did Jesus Christ becoming sin take away sin? Yes, he became sin itself. He never sinned, but he became it. I'm going to show you that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. It's a very little known fact. I'm going to explain how Jesus Christ becoming sin took away sin, because it seems like the most counterintuitive thing you've ever heard. I'm going to explain it by using the law of leprosy in Leviticus chapter 13. Now, someone asked about this on the show I did with Catherine Holmes, the Q&A from a month ago, and I explained it spontaneously. This is one of the most mature topics that we could discuss. This is pure meat. And so I want to teach on it again, this time more prepared. And not only that, I mean, I've taught on this for years, actually, but I have seen a new verse related to this topic that I have never seen before that really ties everything together, and explains it so well. I'm Martin Zender. You're at MZTV. I'm glad you're here. The computer guy came yesterday. I don't want to give you any details. If my computer's still not fixed, I paid $129 for the guy to tell me what I already knew, that I had liquid damage. I called these people telling them I had liquid damage on my computer. The guy comes over and says, yeah, you got liquid damage, all right. I said, well, can you repair it? Well, I'll give you the name of somebody who can repair it. I said, well, I was really thrown off by the word repair on your website, computer repair. That word excited me when I saw repair. Forgive me for thinking that you could actually repair my computer. Anyway, okay, it's not done yet, but there's that. Before I start in earnest, I want you to check out the work of Scott Hicko. If you're not familiar with Scott Hicko's channel, he's a teacher in the body of Christ, lives in Indianapolis. He's putting out great content. He has over 500 videos on his YouTube channel. Folks, that's 500 more videos than the Apostle Paul had, actually. In fact, he has 1,300 subscribers, and he's just a solid teacher, no frills, just gives you the facts. I love this guy, and what I didn't realize is that he's also written an ebook that's also a hardcover book called In Perfect Control. It's about the sovereignty of God. You can actually order this as a book. When did this guy write a book? I found this out, and I said, what? Manfred is my ears and eyes out there. Manfred found this out and brought it to me. He said, Hicko wrote a book. I said, what? Hicko wrote a book? This is fantastic. No, Hicko actually wrote 4 books. He has 3 short stories also available. The Potter's Fire, Death Dies. What a great title, Death Dies. Wish I'd thought of it. I'm really jealous of that title. And No Free Will, No Hell. Talk about getting right to the point. I told you, no frills. Bang, 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 bang. Shoot him down, Hicko. So if you go into the links underneath here, go to the Show More tab, and you will see links to Scott Hicko's YouTube channel. Subscribe to his channel. Watch his videos. I don't think he puts out a video 5 days a week, but he's published a lot of them. And check out his writings, too. And also 2 links here to topics near and dear to my heart. He exposes the Acts 28, the ridiculous nonsense of Acts 28. He exposes the hell out of it in like a 90-minute video, full go. And he also exposes the non-preexistence of Christ. So I have put separate links to those videos because I'm so happy to see that someone else besides me and Seth Vollenkamp and Stephen Janowski is refuting these blasphemous terrible teachings. The non-preexistence of Christ is a blasphemous teaching. The Acts 28 is just completely errant and completely wrong-headed. So there's that. Thank you for tending to that. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For the one not knowing sin, he makes to be a sin offering for our sakes. Yeah, Martin, it says a sin offering there. How can you say he made to be sin? Because offering is in white face type. So the word offering is not in the context. The concordant felt it necessary to put the word offering in there. It has no backing in the Greek to make it make sense. I prefer it not be there, but there it is. And the word a is not there either. So he makes to be sin. Sin is in dark face type. That word is there. He makes him to be sin for our sakes. How does someone being made sin take away sin? For that, I am going to go to the law of leprosy in Leviticus 13. You may have never heard of it. Law of leprosy. Martin, what does this have to do with anything? You're about to find out. Buckle in. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 9 through 13. Just a few short verses, but wait till you hear this. It's shocking. In case the contagion of a leprous disease comes to be in a human, then the matter will be brought before the priest. The priest will examine, and if a white nodule is in the skin and it has turned the hair white and the wild living flesh is alive in the nodule, it is a chronic leprous disease in the skin of his flesh. Then the priest will pronounce him unclean. He shall not enclose him, for he is unclean. Yet, verse 12, yet, if the leprous disease should bud, yea, bud in the skin, so that the leprous disease covers all the skin of the contagious person from his head unto his feet, to all appearances in the eyes of the priest, then the priest will examine, and if the leprous disease covers all his flesh, he will pronounce the contagion clean. What? All of it has turned white. He's clean. I thought this was a misprint when I first read it many years ago. If there's this nodule, this white nodule in the skin, this budding of a leprous disease, if it's in the skin, of course, the priest examines the human and pronounces him unclean. But if a leprous person comes in and it is discovered that the leprous disease has spread, has budded, in the words of the concordant version of the Old Testament, so that the leprous disease, quote, covers all of the skin of the contagious person from his head unto his feet, to all appearances in the eyes of the priest, then the priest will examine, and if the leprous disease covers all of his flesh, he will pronounce the contagion clean. All of it has turned white. He is clean. What in the world is this? It's this. When the leprous disease has spread and it cannot spread anymore, when it has done all it can do, it has covered every inch of skin, every inch of a person, from head to toe. It has exhausted itself, the disease has. It cannot spread anymore, and the priest then pronounces the human clean. This, to me, helped me understand 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That Christ was made to be sin, but not just sin itself, but the entire effect of sin. For this, let me go to Romans 3, verse 25, whom God purposed, this is speaking of Christ, whom God purposed, whom, capital H, God purposed for a propitiatory shelter through faith in his blood, for a display of his righteousness, the work of Christ on the cross, because of the passing over of the penalties of sins. This is the phrase I want to emphasize. I'm going to put all this together. Don't worry. Hang tight with me. Ride it. Ride it. This is going to pay off big time. Because of the passing over of the penalties of sins, which occurred before in the forbearance of God toward the display of his righteousness in the current era. I've always puzzled over this phrase, passing over of the penalties of sin. The penalties of sin. But the people of the Old Testament never felt the penalties of sins because the sacrifice took away the sin, hid the sin, became a shelter, the propitiatory shelter, sheltered the people from the full effect of their sin. And so they never felt the full effect of their sin. Sure, they sinned, they sinned, they sinned, but they never, I'll say it again, they never felt the full effect because of the propitiatory shelter, because the blood of the Lamb covered them temporarily for a year. And now my question is this, and this is the most important question. What is the full effect of sin? Believe it or not, I'm going to go now to James chapter 1, verse 15. You ready for this? Very short, to the point. Sin, fully consummated, is teeming forth death. Sin, fully consummated. In this context, it's talking about people who sin and they commit a sin. They consummate their sin. But I am taking this transadministrational truth and I'm applying it to Christ becoming sin. And I contend to you that sin, because of Satan, was fully consummated. He became sin. And we read here that the consummation of sin is death. Sin leads to death. Sin produces death. And when you take away death, that is when a human becomes immortal, there's no more possibility for sin. I want to go back to Romans 3:25, the Greek word for the effect. See, I don't like the translation in the concordance here, the penalties of sins. This is a bad translation. It should be the effect of the effects of sins. You look up penalties of sins and in the back of the concordant version, it says, see sin. So, of course, sin is a Greek word, hamarta. It means to miss. But this particular word is one word. It's three words in a concordant version, but it's one Greek word. Hamartama. Hamartama. It is three-part word. A is the Greek prefix for un. Mart is the Greek word for mark, unmark, that is sin. Sin is to miss the mark. So hamart or hamarta is the Greek word to miss the mark. That is translated sin in the concordant version and in most other versions. But there in more most other versions. But there is a suffix here. E-M-A. It's a huge, important thing. It carries the meaning of effect. The consequence, the effect of it. So the penalties of sins should be translated the effects of sins, the effects. They passed over, God passed over the sin effect, the effects of sin. And what are the effects of sin? What is the ultimate effect of sin? Death. That was passed over. Why? Because God was saving it to visit upon one person, his son. Everything that sin is, everything that sin can do, every possible way that sin could be consummated was put on Christ. And this resulted in his death, because sin consummated brings forth death. Satan made a critical mistake. Satan was betting everything on destroying Christ. And so Satan brought every malicious thought, tool, being, concept, I don't even know the right word to say here, of the missing, all the horribleness of what missing the mark is, and he threw everything at Christ. In other words, sin was exhausted on Christ, and Satan, again, was betting everything because he left nothing. The full effect of everything sin can do to a person was put on Christ. And now I relate it to the law of leprosy. When the disease had done everything it could possibly do, when it exhausted itself upon a person, it couldn't spread anymore, that person was pronounced clean. In other words, the leprosy was taken care of. It was over. It was no longer able to spread. Likewise, Christ on the cross took the fullness, the full effect of sin and what it can do, all the awfulness of it, and it was completely exhausted on him because Satan threw everything at him, and that was Satan's big mistake. Threw everything at him. He had nothing left. He was banking and betting everything that Christ would die and stay dead. But instead, because sin teeming forth brings death, Satan was banking on that, and that is what happened. What Satan was not banking on was the resurrection. And he certainly did not understand that by throwing every artifice, every evil artifice at Christ, every missing of the mark on Christ, he had emptied the quiver. No more arrows left. And he said to himself, he had to, if this better effing work. Because if it doesn't, I have nothing left. And this man will have taken everything I had to throw at him and conquered it. And that is exactly what happened. The disease of sin was fully budded, fully manifested on the naked body of Christ as he was pinned helpless upon the Roman stake of execution. It was such an unfair fight, but this was a demonstration of how evil is conquered, not by might, not by power, but by the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God is manifested in weakness. To prove that it's not by might or by power, but by spirit. It was far from a fair fight. 2 Corinthians 5, he became sin. Everything that sin could possibly do was upon his body. Began eating his flesh, and it covered him completely. But what happened in the law of leprosy, that man is then proclaimed to be clean because it can't do any more. Sin can't do any more. And so at that point, I believe at that point, cleanliness, freedom from sin was bought because there wasn't anything anywhere else. It was all on him. And he captured it when he died. He pulled it in and he said, it is finished. Finished. Think of that word. James in 1:15 says, sin fully consummated is bringing forth death. That word consummated is the same word translated finish. Apotelio, that's the Greek word, finish. It's the same word Jesus Christ used on the cross when he said, it is finished. It is consummated. What's finished? He said that right after he drank the vinegar, for Christ's sake, right after he drank the vinegar. He said, it is finished. That was a type. The vinegar was a type of every single missing of the mark, every single nastiness that evil has to offer was exhausted upon his frame. But God raised Christ from the dead. And we, not only we, but the entire universe, the entire human race, and the entire universe has been justified from sin. The only thing that awaits is for the body of sin to be nullified, but the legal declaration that we are righteous, that stands and that holds, and that is God's current view of us, because sin can no longer do anything. It's like phantom limb pain. When you cut off a limb, God cut off sin. The body of Christ took away sin. I'm talking about the actual literal body of Christ took away sin. He was the, if you want to think of it in another way, the withered limb that was severed and now it's gone. And all we feel now is phantom pain, any the sin. And we still sin. Don't let anybody tell you you don't, but it no longer condemns us because of this. And I relate it all to phantom limb pain. When people lose a limb, they still have feeling in it where the limb isn't. In other words, their leg still itches, even though their leg's no longer attached to their hip. It's called phantom limb pain. This happens after people have had body parts cut off. Because the body, the mind remembers how it was when it was there. And sometimes our mind remembers what it's like to be condemned by sin. And so this phantom limb pain, this phantom fear comes on us on occasion to vex us, to torment us, but it's all a lie. And ladies and gentlemen, that's all Satan has left after Calvary is lies. That's all he has left. That's what the armor of God is for in Ephesians 6. It's for Satan's lies. That's all he has left. He's a liar and the father of it. Because every single offensive weapon he had was exhausted upon Christ. Christ took the full effect, the sin effect, which is death. And he took it upon himself. And God pronounces the universe clean because Christ took it all. He took everything. One man dedicated to his father's will took away the sin of the world. And because of that, we are free.